We also have shirts for our show. We have a limited amount of those. We'll give them out as well. And give everybody about 1 more minute. Will Austin, stand up, Will. He's one of our artists, worked on Warhammer for quite a while. If you've seen the new Morcane Temple, he was the guy that put that in recently, so yeah. Now, for those who haven't played in a while, I mean, this will be a little bit of old news to some of the guys who are playing now, but for those who haven't played in a little while, this is some of the stuff we've done within the last 6 months to a year. End of last year, around December, we did a patch 1.4.0, which was a very big patch. Not only did we introduce our first paid boosters to the game, but we redid Open RBR, and we did a lot of things to the game as a whole. So we changed our renown ranks and went all the way up to 100, so we added some more power to the game. We introduced a playable monster race called the Skaven, and we let you change your looks for tokens with the Barber Surgeon, so that we added a bunch of cool hairstyles that we did for, I guess it was Taiwan at the time, and people that didn't have at the beginning can now change to them. And we've added some vanity pets that we've been cranking out and releasing on our EA store, or Origin as it's now called. Patch 1.4.1, which passed, went right after that, we did some changes to our armor sets. What we did is we wanted to make the progression of armor sets seem a little better, especially with the release of the armor sets that came with our boosters. So we shifted them a little bit and we made a much more natural progression in the armor so the power curve is a little better. We added the claim window to make it much easier to get anything that you buy off the EA store in-game so you didn't have to rely on getting in-game mail, which expired after 30 days, which was really annoying, especially if you had a new character and you didn't want your item right away. You had to throw it in your bank or not forget to get it. So now you can get it anytime. If you happen to misplace it and it's not a one-time use item, you can get it as many times as you want. If you lost that horse, that's fine. Get another horse. It's not going to affect anybody, so we'll give it to you. And we did a bunch of game optimizations that were kind of behind the scenes to make it run better, to ensure that in open RBR and some of the places where there's going to be a lot of people, that it runs a lot smoother. That brings us kind of into the beginning of this year, and the last two patches, which we've done on about a 3 month schedule. In 1.4.2, we did some additional changes of power. With the boosters, we introduced the Skaven, we also introduced rank 100. And there was a bit of a difference between what the power levels were between people at 80 and 100 and people coming into the lakes. So combined with some changes to how we did the tiers, you can actually stay in tier 3 now up to level 39, so that you basically can be on par with people before you go into the tier four, the big lake where all the people do the big open RPR. So we changed some of that power. We did some more pets. We did the new Morricane, which changed the temple where it's in and made it an inside battle. So there's a lot more strategy there. And then in patch 143, which is our latest, we actually introduced a new live event, which is a yearly thing where we put out a set of quests, usually some stuff in the world to do. And in this case, we introduced a new scenario that we set in one of our popular locations from Altdorf City. So there's the College of Corruption is what it's called. And it's the Bright Wizard College from Altdorf. And now both sides get to fight in it and fight control. And one of the nice aspects of it, much like the Skaven, where you can actually play as the Skaven, is in this scenario, you could actually become a living embodiment of Flame, the Ash Queen. And you get to actually play as that as part of the scenario. We did some RVR accessories to kind of tweak some of the armor adjustments we've made and kind of give you a little bonus for the high-end armor. And then we allowed a new service on the EA store to allow you to change your name. So people had been stuck with a name for a long time or wanted to escape their reputation, they could pay for a name change and they'd do that. Now what is probably most important to people that are actually playing the game, what are we doing now? And then where are we going? So the current events is we're working on 144. The current date for that is going to be 8:30. There's a possibility that due to some of our other game schedules and things like that, we might move that back a week, but currently it's scheduled for the end of August. What we're looking at here is we're going to make some changes to OpenRVR. For those who have played, we did a big change to the environment of OpenRVR, where you have to take a keep in the zone. You have one, they have one, you take theirs, you move on. One of the things that people found is that it's sometimes hard to defend a keep, especially if you don't have enough people, or it seems like it's just the battle's inevitably going to go that way. So what we wanted to do was put it in the way so that when somebody's trying to take your keep, if you're able to take down their ram, if you're able to basically fight them back to a certain point, it's going to give you a buff, it's going to give you a kind of incentive to wipe them out and push them back to give you time to make an offensive back, either at their keep or right there, take some of the battlefield objectives, etc. So it's a kind of a way to turn the tide for people that are doing keep defenses and make it so then they can take the zone and push it towards the other city. We're also making some changes to ranged DPS. We'll talk a little bit more about that in detail when we do the Q&A if anybody has some questions. We're also making some fixes to the war camps, the guards. When we did what are called weekend war fronts, which are scenarios that change every week, some of the scenario quests out there that says, hey, run Isha's and get some reward. Isha may not be running during this patch because we change up the scenarios every patch, or it may only be for a weekend. This will make it so there's always quests that will be with whatever scenario is running that weekend, so you don't have to have it sitting in your quest journal and waiting for it to pop. Finally, we just have our generic bug fixes and tome work, which we try to fit a little bit in every patch. And we're going to do another scenario shakeup so that what we do is we get out on the forums and we find out what are your favorite scenarios, what of the current crop do you like, which would you like to see return, and then we kind of filter them in. And one of the things that has proved pretty popular in the last few weeks with the last patch is we have the Gates of Akron scenario, which traditionally is a 12-on-12 battle, but we ran it as a 6-on-6 battle, and people are very very happy with that, given the size of the scenario, so that will be making a return as well. Finally, we have a live event called the Wild Hunt, which is a whole zone on its own, as well as a whole slew of quests that will make its return this year. It'll be open for all tiers, and you'll be able to go back into the dungeon again. That's the end of next month. That's everything we have planned there. Going on, patch 145. The first one's probably the most interesting one of those, and probably the one that we'll spend the most time on here in a second, is we're currently designing as part of this cycle how to bring fortresses back to the campaign. For those who aren't familiar with the game or haven't played in a while, the fortresses were the end cap to the campaign in our end zones, the tier four. Unfortunately, when the game released, there was some issues with the amount of people that would basically pile on in those zones when they were getting to the end, and we had to disable that content and spread it out over the campaign before they went to the city. never really found a good way to bring them back as part of the campaign. We made a lot of optimizations to the server, just the code in general, to make battles handle a lot more people. But still, the problem could remain that you just get 1,000 or 2,000 people in one area and then it just comes to a standstill. So I'll talk about our plans for fortresses in a second, in a separate slide, and what we're doing and how we're kind of trying to put it back in and avoid some of those issues potentially. We're going to have more targeted CNC changes. We'll take some feedback during the Q&A on what people would like to see in that fashion. And we're also doing some more play as monster designs. Right now we've played as the Skaven, we played as the Ashbreed, but we've been doing a lot of work with monsters to allow more of them to be the play as monster type. And we're toying with how we can make play as monster have a little more progression so that what you've done as play as monster kind of holds over, whether that's achievements, titles, being a stronger play as monster the next time you play it, that sort of stuff is what we're working on. And finally, we're going to look at RBR again, because we're going to do that probably every patch as people have loads of feedback on it on the forums and talking to people and emails we get. And one of the things that we've kind of touched upon is when we changed RBR at the end of last year, we were looking at a lot of things that people had suggested and a lot of feedback and a lot of stuff that we did actually play test. And a lot of people really didn't like the idea that it was, instead of PvP, it was PvE sort of, it was, you know, RVE, realm versus just the NPCs, because there were guards and thieves, there were guards and EOs. They felt that that kind of took away from the actual fighting. Unfortunately, taking it all out also has left people wanting them back. So it's a weird dynamic there. It's like, we don't really want it, but it's a little too easy without some of that there as a roadblock if we're not right there and we need to get to the defense. So we're trying to figure out how we can put them in without them being just this gigantic roadblock to doing keep attacks or defenses and make them kind of a strategy element to the ORBR campaign. New appearance armor, we'll get to that in a separate slide. It's kind of cool. I'll just keep that as that. And Groveyard Caverns, which we've kind of been teasing, used to be just this set of tunnels under the ground, and they had some bridges, and admittedly the bridges didn't work very well, and they kind of caught up the traffic, and so it was never a very popular scenario.
I love that.
So what we did is we had Will and a few people basically take a look at it, and then we let Will kind of free in it, and he took out all the bridges, he made a lot of modifications, he threw a lot of cool stuff in from the stuff we did with the Skaven, and I'll show you some screenshots of that in a second as well. So we'll be bringing that back as well. Beyond that, we're looking at places to do alternate scenarios. One of the things that we want to do is take existing portions of the game and make them more useful. For example, the College of Corruption scenario I told you guys about earlier took the Bright Wizard College, which really just people in Altdorf went and saw. And for the most part, it was probably just Bright Wizards doing quest chains and things like that. It really was just kind of, it's a landmark. And we made it a place to battle over. There's lots of places in the game where we can basically take the fight. There's wing zones in the middle zones of the RBR, like West Prague, Cinderfall, those type of places. There's the Isle of the Dead. There's a lot of places right now that are traditionally PvE for only one side sees, where we can take it and make it into a PvP experience. And since that's the core of our game, we want to embrace that. That's what we're looking at. So we'll talk about a little bit about that in the Q&A. And if you guys have any suggestions for places you'd like to find in the game, feel free to throw them up as well. And we have a discussion going on our forums as well. I'm saying as well a lot.
Yeah, stop.
That's okay.
Well, it's better than in that regard, which apparently I say a lot too, so.
Regardless.
No, I don't say that. Towards the end of the year, later, we're looking at crafting and we're going to open up some discussions on that. The reason we're looking at crafting is we want to take what is admittedly not the best crafting system. We want to add some functionality to it, put in some things that we don't have right now, fill in some gaps in it, and add some new systems to it and make it a little more fun and more useful to players of the game. We also have a system where we can do upgrades to equipment, and we're looking at how we can put that in. And we also, as I said, we're trying to use as many assets either already in the game or in our stable of assets that just haven't been seen, and we just need to find out how to kind of get them in the game. There were some things that we'll never use, and I know we usually get a question at these, like, will we ever see the other cities? Probably not. Those assets were really never completed, and we just don't have that capability. But we do have some assets that were connected to those, and we're trying to figure out if we can use them and put them in the game and let you see some things that are going to be brand new to you as well. So I'm going to talk about the fortresses. This is our current design for the fortresses. We're still fleshing it out. There's going to be things that we change that during the playtest might not go so well. There might be some great suggestions from the forums. There might be even some things you guys want to throw up at the end of this to kind of get our design juices flowing. But here's what we're looking at first. This is a typical tier 4 campaign. You got the three zones that you have to take, and then you have the fortresses capping it on either side. Right now the fortresses don't do anything but kind of be there when you're running through them to the city after you've taken all the other zones. We want to have them do something, but we don't necessarily want it to be just as you push towards the city. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a relic in either fortress that has been split into two parts. It's very similar in theory to relics in Camelot, if you're familiar with that game that we did as well. It probably won't be called a relic. I'm just using that because it's a very easy terminology for people, and we'll probably call it something else, and it probably will be very lore specific, and it'll fit in with the different keeps, etc. But for now, we're just going to call it the relic because that makes it easy for us to go through the demonstration. I'm going to start at either side. Each half will be there. Nothing will happen if they're just in their neutral state. One thing though, we want to be able to do relic raids at any time. It's not, I pushed your campaign to your fortress, now I'm going to take your relic and do something with it now. This is an alternative way to fight. You'll be able to do these at any time. You'll be able to just go, you know what? They're kind of pushing over here. Let's go take a relic and kind of disrupt what they're doing and see if they'll come fight us over here instead and bring off some of those guys and kind of split up people and potentially use that as a strategic element as well. Once you do it, you have to defeat the fortress lords, which will make a return. One of the interesting aspects that we're looking at for this is we're going to use what we call our play as monster, that's why we have in there, to allow players, if they want, in a fortress defense, to take on the persona of the fortress lords and play them, and basically become buffed up, fight to defend the fortress, and hopefully, you know, win something from defending it. If there aren't anybody there or they don't want to do that, the fortress lords will fight on their own, but if you take over and become the fortress lord, you'll be able to put a lot more strategy into it. It'll buff you a little bit more than the fortress lord was on its own, that type of thing.
Sort of like the
you defeat him, you take the relic, and then you
sort
run.
Sort of like the city, last stage.
So the fun
city.
Part is, you get to run across all the zones in a group, hot potatoing that relic back and forth. So you'll take it from the fortress, and take it to the first zone, you'll run across that. Take it to the next one, you'll be passing it back and forth because it's a very powerful artifact, so you can't hold it too long at any given time. We don't want a solo person just to take the entire way and kind of hide everywhere they can. We want it to be a group, we want it to you go across so that people can come and find you, and there'll be fights and fights and fights. Keep going, take it to the next zone, and finally you get back to your fortress and you profit. When you get the two halves of the relic together, you're going to get a realm-wide bonus. We're still working on the exact details of that and what that'll mean, but basically your whole side will get a bonus towards the campaign that they'll use wherever they are out there. And that's the basics of the fortress. We'll come back to this if you have any questions on it at the end in the Q&A. Wow, they're not very good in that.
Is there a way to click off the lights or turn?
Do we have the lights back there? Yeah, see if they'll come out a little better. There you go.
Does
that help any?
Yeah,
they're not the
other side, it looks
it's
like.
A cavern. It's going to be dark. If you can look right there, that dark spot is really cool.
Well, unfortunately, you can't see it. The idea, though, is that there's going to be multiple levels to it. There won't be bridges like there were before that you get stuck on. There will be a kind of a chasm with bridges, but they'll just be the normal kind you run across, and they don't disappear or blow up or any of that type of stuff. And then there's a lot of accrements of the Skaven. The Skaven bell makes an appearance in there. We've got some Skaven turrets, and there will probably likely be some Skaven play as well. This is what we call Tier 7 appearance armor. One of the things that we put into our game is a lot of different armor. They've gone up in stats, they've gone up in looks. And what these represent, and the reason we call them Tier 7, is these are going to be the most ornate and most detailed armors that we put in the game. But we're not looking at them as the next armor set. It's not going to replace the high-end Doomflayer Warforged. It's not going to be beyond that. This is going to be a set of armor, likely gated by the relics and the fortresses, doing that successfully. That will then, you'll be able to purchase, and you'll be able to use their appearance on your existing armor. So if you want to take your current Doomflayer and make it look a little better, you can do that. If you want to take your Warforged, make it look like this, you can. I took four of the pictures up there so you can just kind of get an idea of just how ornate they are. Engineer, the chairman. We actually have the chosen for you. And I can return to some of these, and I believe I have all of them on the hard drive, so if there's a specific one at the end, the very end, and you want to see it, I can try to pull it up for you. These are some of the special league pets that'll be going on the EA store probably end of August, I believe. We have, for order, we've got a dancing bear who basically follows you around and just drums as he goes, and he's quite adorable. And then he sits on his butt and drums a little bit when he's idling. He's also kind of adorable. And then for destruction, we have Zeech familiars, which are very demonic and very cool, just to kind of hang around with you as you're running around. We're still deciding what, if any, they'll have as far as effects, like, kind of like when we did the speed pets and the scrounging pets, or if this will be part of these will be part of one of the other packs where we just do multiple pets. So as a recap, the last year we focused on our expansion, our boosters, putting a little more content into the game, putting some stuff out there that people hadn't seen, and revamping OpenRBR because that was one of our big points that we had not hit up to that point. And we wanted to make sure that they had a positive impact, so that's why you saw in the subsequent patches that we did some changes to them, kind of tweaked them, used feedback, and play testing that we got from everybody that was playing to make them better. The current patch tweaks that OpenRBR campaign a little bit, and it also does some more CNC loads, especially for the ranged DPS at this point, and we fix a good number of bugs. And then going forward, we want to concentrate on getting the fortresses back in, doing some new scenario designs, basically using a lot of stuff that we've either had in reserve, needed to finish, didn't have resources for, and get them out there for you.